everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with producer Rosemary Brant. Rose and I would like to welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is Friday, May 2nd, 2014, as we launch into a Cinco de Mayo weekend. We are live weekdays noon to 1 right here on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice. We are streaming our show on buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And thanks to Rose, the show is usually up on the podcast, available within about an hour of its conclusion for your anytime, anywhere listening. Our Friday Focus interview this afternoon, Mike Varney is with me in studio. Mr. Varney, the president and CEO of the Tucson Metro Chamber. Joining me to question Mike is Mark Evans, former editor of Inside Tucson Business. If you have a question or comment, call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. We also invite you to become a friend of the Buckmaster Show on our Facebook page. Mark and Mike, both good to see both of you.
Thank you very much, Bill. It's great to be with you.
Good to see you, Bill. Glad it's stopped, wind stopped blowing so I can breathe again.
Oh, man, that was so miserable yesterday. Anyone with allergies prone to headaches like I am, when it's a strong easterly wind, those are known as the migraine makers. And it, yeah, had a headache yesterday. Glad it's over with. Mike, how are you today?
Very well. Thank you, Bill.
Mike, give me an overview. Give us an overview. How is Tucson doing when you compare it to other cities our size? And not just population size, but we're talking money-wise. The overall product of things that we produce here. Yeah. How are we doing?
Well, the Tucson Metro Chamber recently did a study. We looked at that exact topic, Bill. And what we did is we created a little model, and we identified the five metro areas that are immediately bigger than Tucson and the five metro areas that are immediately smaller than Tucson. So that creates an 11 metro metropolitan statistical area, MSA, peer group of 11 different markets. We then quantified the gross metro product of each of those 11 markets, and gross metro product, sum of all goods and services produced, mm-hmm. is the same to a local community like Tucson as gross national product is to the country. It's the sum of all goods and services produced. And Tucson came in 10th out of those 11 markets, which means that in that particular context, Tucson is underperforming in terms of its ability to build wealth and create prosperity for all of its citizens, not just for some citizens, but for all citizens. And so that has become a little bit of a benchmark for us. And frankly, it's a little bit of a rallying cry for all of us at the Tucson Metro Chamber, because we've got some work to do, and we've got to roll up our sleeves, and we've got to do everything we can to create a business environment here that is more productive, that creates more prosperity for all citizens across our community. There's nothing more important for us than getting that done right now.
And quickly, and I know statistics can be rather confusing to people, but when we were, as you say, 10th or out of this survey of our peers, what would be first, and what kind of money difference are we talking about?
Yeah,
what would be really good compared to where we are?
Well, the top performing MSA in this particular context was Bridgeport, Stamford, Norwalk, Connecticut, which is a high-tech mm-hmm. and high-education hub, $86 billion of gross metro product a year. The average for the 11 markets was about $50 billion, $51 billion worth of gross metro product. Tucson came in with $33 billion in gross metro product, which is about 50% less than the average, which is a huge statistic.
It is.
The one that really, and I don't know why this sticks out for me, I have no axe to grind with the state of Alabama or the city of Birmingham, but Birmingham, Alabama came in with almost $60 billion worth of gross metro product, And for whatever reason, I just don't think there's any reason why Tucson, Arizona can't be at least as smart as Birmingham, Alabama.
And we beat out one city, and that's Fresno in the San Joaquin Valley.
There's a lot of defense plants in Birmingham. I think that might have something to do with it.
Sure.
Did when you were doing the study, did you look at to get some census data and other things to look at maybe some commonalities amongst those MSAs?
We really didn't, Mark. We didn't go – we could go many layers deep into cross-tabbing, other stats and so forth. We just, as a general overview, as a metropolitan area, how well are we performing? And that was the gross metro product number. And by taking that, and it's an arbitrary metric, but it's five markets immediately bigger, five markets immediately smaller. Put the two together, and what do you get?
One of the things that I had a question about I didn't get back to you when you had submitted your column for Inside Tucson Business, which you write about this in Inside Tucson Business this week, was the discussing the reduction in sales tax numbers. The MSA incorporates the entire county, right, but the city's only part of that. Yep. Did you adjust those for that?
Yes, and as I said in the article, you have to make some very big assumptions.
It's all taxable.
Right? Yeah, there's a lot of – so that – the number that we came up with on how much more tax money would be available to open our swimming pools, pave our roads, all of the more public safety, all of that is all arguable based on the assumptions that we made. So the assumptions may be too high, they may be too low, but just to try to approximate, we came up with a formula that we thought was appropriate and we thought worked.
And talk about wake-up calls. Your recent survey of businesses is another wake-up call. Well, I'm going to begin with some of the good news from the survey.
Yeah, there was some good news.
Yeah, there was that. I guess this could be considered good news, that 62% of the businesses said that they plan on staying in the region, and I would put that at the top of the list of good news because at least these are people who like our area and want to stay here.
Yep. Yeah. Those 62%, Bill, are companies that when they responded to the survey, that their answer was that there were multiple ways to answer the question. They answered the question, "We're here to stay no matter what." That was the exact wording of the answer that those 62% chose. Other answers included, "We want to stay here, except," and there were several alternatives like that. There were a couple of questions in there. We said, "Have you been contacted by another city? Have you thought about moving your company? If you're going to grow and expand, will you grow and expand here, or will you think about growing and expanding in another community?" So the other 38% fall into those categories. But you're right, 62%, that's good. They say they're here no matter what.
Here's Mark Evans.
Now, some of the rhetoric that the chamber was using to promote the results of the survey was kind of tended to focus a little bit more on the negative aspects of it. And when I read the report, it seemed a little bit mixed. It seemed like businesses thought definitely things could be better. But as we just said, they thought things were going pretty well also. And when you had them rank, you know, the things that are most important to them, kind of the politics of government, you know, and their involvement in business was a little down the list. But the chamber's really trying to change attitudes politically. Do you think that this survey helped with that mission, or do you think that it makes people dig in their heels and get down in their bunkers?
Yeah. First of all, the chamber was the vehicle for delivering this piece of research. It really gave a voice to the 129 employers, all of whom, or almost all of whom, employ 100 people or more. So these are the companies that are going to make a difference in our community in terms of the jobs that they offer. They also are best positioned for growth and expansion. So 129 companies, their collective voice is what was in that survey, Mark. And you're right. There were some positive aspects to that. Bill pointed out one that 62% are here no matter what. The same 129 companies came out and they said they love the climate here. They love doing business in the community. They like their neighbors. They like the way that we conduct our affairs here, our lifestyle. But they also were very, very passionate about concerns that they had, specifically the interface between government and the private sector, which they thought was very problematic. And then a very, very close second in terms of angst was just the people are out of patience with the condition of our roads.
All right, it's coming up on 12:14 on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to take a break right here. Mike Varney is with us from the Tucson Metro Chamber, and Mark Evans. We'll be right back. Lots more with Mike Varney.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook. UA Biosphere 2's new ocean gallery and its large viewing windows give tour visitors a look under the surface of the existing Biosphere 2 ocean. Within the ocean gallery is the new Return to the Sea of Cortez exhibit, which chronicles the storied 1940 journey of author John Steinbeck and marine biologist Ed Ricketts to the Gulf. Experience this remarkable journey for yourself. Come visit Biosphere 2 today. Info at b2science.org. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's 12:18 on this Friday afternoon. Mike Varney is here from the Tucson Metro Chamber and Mark Evans. The cleaning up the town is a huge, huge issue. When people first come into town, they fly into town, and I know that you and your colleagues at the Chamber are at least trying to clean up the median so the first impression is a good one at the airport.
Right. Well, you're absolutely correct about that, and the project is actually called First Impressions. Anybody who has driven between Valencia and the airport terminal recently has noticed that all of the low-lying trees and shrubs and vegetation on those medians has been scraped. The bigger trees, the saguaros that are there, were left there, but everything else is bare dirt, which is the first step toward putting in some absolutely beautiful and magnificent native Sonoran landscaping in there that will be very, very impressive. We will also soon have, probably toward the end of the summer, there'll be pieces of art and culture that will go one per median too. So anyone driving into or driving from the terminal out to Valencia on Tucson Boulevard will have something that's, we hope, inspiring, beautiful, unique, and positive for that first impression of Tucson. And of course, if you live here and you drive that that stretch of road yourself from time to time, you'll have a reminder that we are working towards beautifying our city, and that'll just be one little 0.6 mile to remind you of it.
Yeah. Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Matt is with us. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Mike, I don't know if you have you had a chance to see Aruna Murthy, the state economist, report yet yesterday. I think it got released and it's in the Star today. She refers to what we're looking at for the economy for Arizona this year as stagnant, slow, subpar. Overall, she's saying, based on the forecast, employers will hire just about 53,000. Maricopa will get about 44,600 of that. And then places like Pima County, they're predicting 4,400. Just wanted to hear if you had any thoughts about where we're at right now in the economy. Thank you.
Here's my thought. You go right to do the math. The Phoenix area is about four times the size of the Tucson area as a metro area. So just do the math. If it's a 4-to-1 ratio in population, is it a 4-to-1 ratio in economic growth and job creation? And based on the numbers that you just mentioned, it's about a 10-to-1 ratio of job creation, which is wealth creation and so forth. And so that's my thoughts. That, you know, there again, it appears that we've got work to do to get our share of jobs, good-paying jobs, well-paying jobs, and put our citizens back to work, creating prosperity here in southern Arizona.
And here's Mark Evans now.
I want to go back to the issue of roads that we were talking about right before we went to the break. The Society of Civil Engineers says that Arizona's got a multi-billion dollar problem. 56% of the roads in the state, not just down here in Pima County, are fair or poor and desperately in need of improvement. We all know, and it's also creating kind of a hidden tax. It's about $800 million a year, they estimate, in excess vehicle maintenance that those roads cause. We've been waiting around for the legislature to do something about it, and we were gifted with $30 million total in restoration of the HERF funds from the legislature this year. And I had argued in a column in Inside Tucson Business that perhaps waiting for the legislature to help fix the roads is the wrong thing to do. And then if you all the individual counties and municipalities try to do it themselves and tax their local residents, that becomes this enormous tax burden when there's more than just locals who drive on the road. So it really is a state issue. What do you think is the solution? I had argued that perhaps it's the business community that needs to take hold of this and get a ballot initiative to try and get the state sales tax or state gas tax bumped up and start getting some money into these roads and get us out of this hole.
Yeah. It sounds very much like Chuck Huckleberry's proposal to raise gas taxes, which have not been raised since the early 90s or mid 90s.
1992.
In that particular context, could there be some appetite on the part of the voter for accepting that tax? Like any other ballot initiative that involves the taxpayer reaching a little deeper into his or her pocket, there has to be a belief that if they do that, that they'll get what the payoff is. They're going to get the roads that they need and deserve. And government, all different governments, I'm not just saying Pima County, but governments are held at arm's length everywhere because of their promises that then don't materialize. Rio Nuevo being a classic example here in our part of the world. But I really do think that, that the U.S. Highway Trust Fund is darn near out of money, so it's not going to come from them. The state is probably going to be very reluctant to raise taxes. So I think your point, Mark, is well taken, that this may come down to the local population and local political leadership. Can they sell a tax to the tax, another tax to the taxpayer, and deliver on that promise? I believe that we probably can do that. Now, that's not an official chamber position, but we can't. We simply can't go on driving on the condition of the roads that we are right now. And the obvious problem with that is if it's a bad road today, it's going to be a horrible road tomorrow. They're not going to get any better over time. So the sooner we get at them, the better.
Mike Varney is with us. Mike, in many communities and the communities you and I have lived in, other than Tucson, I think we've talked about this before, that when it comes to jobs and economic development, usually there's one voice that speaks to kind of a one unifying voice. Tucson is different. It's unusual that we have lots of different players
yep.
who want to be involved at the table, and that's okay to a certain extent. A consensus is nice, but sometimes you have to have a leader, and yep. you have to be out front as one voice.
Yep.
It doesn't happen yet here.
Yeah. You're right. All of the communities that I'm aware of that have really pulled off a renaissance, a revitalization of their local economy have gotten the local, and I use the term tribal leaders, the local leaders of the public sector, the local leaders of the private sector. Those are the people who, if they come together and agree on a prosperity agenda for their community, and sell those ideas to taxpayers when necessary, sell them to various special interest groups, the private sector, to all of the other special interest groups in the community, who can all buy into one script, one plan to move forward. That's how you make that progress. But infighting amongst each other will never get us anywhere. And that's where we are right now, Bill, is we just have lots and lots of people that want to create a new world order here in Southern Arizona based on their plan rather than the plan.
It's their vision, right?
And along those lines, TRIO released its new blueprint on Wednesday night. I assume you were there. What do you make of it? Do you think they got a plan?
I think they've got a plan. I think the execution of that plan, like the execution of any plan, frankly, is going to rely on having everybody come together to support it. And that's back to Bill's point. Do we have a plan here? The TRIO plan is a good one. It's predicated on creating wealth here by selling products and services that people who live someplace else, another state, another country, pay us for. Rather than circulating our own dollars here in our own community, we need to import dollars from other consumers, whether it's a business consumer, a consumer, an individual consumer. We need to bring those dollars in from the outside if we're going to grow our economy. Well, to get that done, I don't know that that we're at the point now where we can say that everybody's behind one plan, and whether it's the TRIO blueprint or it's some other plan, we all need to get behind one plan and all put our shoulder on the load to move it.
All right, let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Greg has been waiting patiently. Greg, you're with Mike Varney. Go ahead.
Well, this is going to be politically incorrect, Bill.
Okay.
But Mike and Bill, here's a suggestion. I have a friend who retired as a captain from the fire department in Nebraska, great guy who lives in Green Valley. He said it's unconscionable, the pensions that our police and fire get. And I agree with him. I mean, there's some cities in California where almost half their budget is going to be allocated for pensions. Mm-hmm. Secondly, we have great law enforcement folks here at TPD and the Sheriff's Department. However, we have too many cops on the street. Remember I said at the beginning it's going to be be politically incorrect. Mm-hmm. When I see three or four units pull up on a guy on a bicycle that's homeless, and you have three or four cops that are checking him out to see if he has proper ID, or we have cops that do a sting operation for a prostitute, and you have 20 people that are involved in that sting, it's overwhelming. We have to regroup and reorganize, and I'd like to get your thoughts on that.
Okay, and going back to your survey, before I let you respond to Greg, folks, one of the other positive things out of your survey was that respondents rated police and fire services highly.
Very highly.
Here in Tucson.
Yep, they were rated as high as any of the other choices, highest of all choices, I should say. You made a number of different points there.
Pension first.
Let's do the pension first. It was long ago, decades ago, that companies realized the impossibility of continuing to fund defined benefit programs. Defined benefit program, which is if you work X number of years and you make X number of dollars, when you retire, we will define your benefit as X for the rest of your life. Well, people are living longer now. That whole concept of supporting people for the rest of their lives is very archaic, except in public circles. A lot of public entities are moving from defined benefit to defined contribution. Defined contribution is like a 401k. If you, as a police officer, a fireman, or a sales representative, or whatever, you put in X dollars of your paycheck every month into a 401k or an IRA, then the company or the municipality will match that to the tune of X, Y, and Z, so that when you retire, you have a lump sum of wealth that you can then deploy any way that you want for the rest of your life. That's what the private sector went to decades ago. The public sector has been slow to get around to that. The abuses that happen in the public sector come from gaming the pension system or doing what many people refer to as pension spiking. The formulas are written in such a way that it's usually the last 3 years of service that a police officer or a firefighter has on the job. They take those 3 years of service, and that becomes the formula upon which this income for life is calculated. And I'm not saying it's happening here in Tucson, but I do know that it's happened in many other cities where the police officers and the firefighters will game how they use overtime. They'll have all kinds of extra income coming in those last 3 years to balloon their pension payment, and that is drawing a lot of fire, especially at the state level right now, right here in Arizona.
Okay, and Greg, as far as your too many cops at a particular scene, I don't think any of us are probably qualified to.
Well, I will say that normally in a community, you get the number of police officers and firefighters are measured by the number of them per 100,000 or per 10,000 of citizens, and I think we're under the average here.
But he was referring to it like particular calls.
Well, I don't know how they handle their calls.
I don't either. Okay, Mike Varney, thank you very much.
My pleasure,
for being with us. Coming up next, Mark Evans sticks around. It's our Friday Roundtable, and Dan Gibson joins us from the Tucson Weekly right after this.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 8/31/14. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tanqueverty Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is our Friday roundtable. Mark Evans, former editor inside Tucson Business, and Dan Gibson, as the last time we checked, anyway.
I still have a job. Yeah. So far,
still,
so good.
Still editor of the Tucson Weekly. How are you today, Dan?
Oh, I'm great. Good. Yeah, things are good.
Things are good for you.
Yeah, why not?
Mark, you made the decision this week that you would not be coming back as editor of Inside Tucson Business. Wednesday was your last day. What you wrote, it started as a guest opinion over at Dylan Smith's TucsonSentinel.com, but it's been picked up on Facebook, a lot of other places, pretty much kind of went viral. Mark Evans saying, I chose unemployment rather than work for 1013 Communications.
It's going to be tough for Dan since I know. He works for 1013 Communications.
He can just sit there and, yeah.
No, and I've been well compensated to argue all of your points. No,
there you go.
None of that
He's
happened.
Been well compensated, well briefed by the public relations machine.
I've got a thing in my ear that tells me what's
exactly.
I don't like the owner of the company. I don't like what they did to the Explorer, and I didn't want to work for them. And, you know, that they, by all rights, were able to buy a company, the newspaper that was for sale. They bought the paper that I worked at. I was given the option to apply to continue working as the editor of Inside Tucson Business with the new owners, and I didn't want to do that. And a lot of people kept asking me why. They wanted to know why. They wanted to know what was so bad about 1013, or why don't you want to work there? And I decided that my first day after of my unemployment, that I should be the one who tells the tale rather than somebody else. And so I wrote a little op-ed piece that explains my reasoning.
And you had had experience with this particular employer.
I have no experience with this particular employer. What I have is I spent 10 years working at the Explorer. I left the Explorer to go to Tucson Citizen. Shortly after I left, it was sold. Now, the entire staff who was at the Explorer were people that I had recruited, people that I had hired, that I had trained, people that I loved dearly. They were good friends of mine who I thought were excellent journalists and that I don't think were treated very well as that company created its business plan, which is to maximize the advertising and minimize the news. And I put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into the Explorer, and I took it personally. And, you know, if you got somebody you don't like, you don't want to work for him, and I don't want to work for the guy. So, you know, I'm unemployed now. But, you know, is it the same company? I don't know. I didn't want to take the chance to find out. Dan's going to find out for me.
Well, Dan, give us an update, all the listeners, about there was concern that the Tucson Weekly would cease to exist, or if it did exist, there might be one or two employees. What has happened in the 2 weeks since this announcement came down and now under 1013?
Not a lot. A lot and nothing at the same time. I mean, like, obviously just sort of the nature of everyone wondering what was going to happen and all this indecision. I mean, not indecision, but just sort of uncertainty. But, you know, all the editorial staff is back. Everybody's still, we're still making a paper for next week. And honestly, I haven't, you know, it's one of those things, you take it as you go. And I think anybody who's worked in media has that sense of, like, everything can change tomorrow.
Sure.
And whether it was Wick or 1013 or whoever, I just, my thought in the process was I was going to wait for a reason. I didn't have the personal experience with 1013 and all that stuff. I was going to wait for a reason to quit or to whatever, you know. And they haven't given it to me yet.
Mm-hmm.
And every assurance that I've had, and this is something I just have decided to take at face value, is, you know, they love the paper. They want it to be the same. They want everything to be the weekly that it is. And, you know, just in my own logic, I don't, with the history of the paper, the 30 years the weekly has been around and just sort of the legacy that it has and the perceived, you know, the integrity as it's perceived in the community, I don't know how they would make money off of it by taking it apart.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of those other papers, yeah, I don't know. You know what I mean? I think it seems like the model is changing for them and it's a different company, but who knows? You know what I mean? I think I'm a trust but verify type person by the nature of what I do. And but so far, no one has said, you know, the content has to change or the personnel has to change. You know, obviously, I think we're changing to a new page size this week. So there's going to be a little bit of chaos, but
But as a professional, you, and we've talked about this before, and, and I feel the same way as you do, that, well, kind of you're only as good, in my business, you're only as good as your last radio show.
Right.
And in your business, you as editor, I think, are only as good as your last issue.
Yeah, it's still basically my name at the top. You know, there's a publisher ahead of me, but if anything happens, I'm the one who hears it. And, you know, and even in the last 2 weeks I've been hearing it a lot, you know. So it's gonna be an interesting space. You know, I'm dedicated to the weekly. I mean, it's something I grew up with. It's a big part of my life, and so we're just gonna do our best and kind of plug away.
And I wish the weekly all the luck in the world. I know all the people that work there. I like them a lot. I think they're good journalists, and I think they'll continue to do a good job, and I want them to succeed.
And this news came out probably was not the best timing for you, Mark, about the grim forecast for Arizona job growth, worse here in Pima County. But we spent some time talking with Mike Varney about the situation here. And I think Mr. Varney is, to a certain extent, frustrated that there is not kind of one voice when it comes to the business community speaking here.
Yeah, and I don't know that they're ever going to be one voice.
It's just kind of the nature of Tucson, I guess. Everything's kind of a consensus.
You've got the Metro Chamber. You've got the Hispanic Chamber that's come on strong lately.
The Black Chamber.
Leah Marquez Peterson. Then you've got the Oro Valley and the Marana, the Vale, the Greater Green Valley Chamber. then now you've got Trio. And the Trio was supposed to be the one voice for economic development because under the former Economic Development Agency, GTEC, the Greater Tucson Economic Council, they were competing. They were going to the same trade shows where you had GTEC, City of Tucson, Pima County, Oro Valley, Marana, all lined up down a row trying to all compete with each other. So TRIO was supposed to solve that and speak with one voice. Now that has split apart. You've got economic development activity offices now back in the City of Tucson, back in the county. You know, I don't know that we're ever going to have one voice. You've also got the political problems in the county, in that the suburbs are very Republican, and the inner part of the city is very Democrat.
The turf battle,
and that
the city
gets
and
reflected
county.
On the yeah. city and county.
That's the strangest thing. I mean, that's, you know, I think the big plan for a long time was like, hey, obviously we'll have Rio Nueva and we'll fix downtown and that'll be great. Mm-hmm. And now what? You know what yeah. I mean? Like, what is the next thing? And it seems to be this sort of like constant desperation with anybody who mentions that they might bring jobs here. You know, it's like, oh gosh, well, Grand Canyon, oh, we should do everything for them, or, you know, Tesla and whoever. It's like, I don't know if there's like a part of it is just that I think those parties can't even seem to get their act together to say what they want. I don't know if I have ever heard a clear vision of Joe Snell's perspective on, you know, what growth will mean for this area, or tree, you know, or Mike Varney's or anybody's. Mm-hmm. It just seems like it's just crossing your fingers and maybe your toes too.
And Mike's new here, and so he came during the recession. And
yes,
I, you know, we've been here. You've been here a lot longer than me. I've been here 20 years, and we didn't have these arguments before the recession. Yeah. Everybody was making money when we were building houses like crazy. We were, in fact, all we did was fight with each other over where the growth was going to go. And, you know, were we all just nothing but a bunch of greed hounds who were just chasing the money because it was build, build, build? And then the bubble pops. The housing construction comes to an end, the economy goes in the toilet, and we start looking, you know, real closely at ourselves at what are we really when we're not building homes. And we didn't like what we're seeing in the mirror, so now everybody's pointing fingers at each other.
And the roads were – I can't – seems like before the Great Recession, I don't remember hearing people complaining about how bad our roads were.
It was because growth was funding road construction.
Right, plenty of – there was cash for it. People complained about the water.
All the old roads
– water, definitely.
Right. Yeah. All the old roads were becoming new roads because they had to be expanded because of the growth.
Right, multiple lanes, all that stuff. Yeah, right. It's that's just what seems strange. I mean, I think I just can't quite figure out what anybody wants. You know, I mean, obviously, like, we'd all love a bunch of really great jobs, but then you have certain types of people who seem antagonistic to the U of A being that growth point. Or now it's, you know, like, hey, we need to chase, make sure the A-10 doesn't leave, or this, you know, it's like, it's kind of whack-a-mole, but whack-a-mole where you're not sure how you're scoring the points. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, stop the bleeding, and then maybe we'll figure the rest out. But hey, you know, half the other people just seem mad about streetcars or hotels.
Tucson is an outlier in many ways when it comes to the whole economic development scene. And, you know, it gets back to the product, Mark Evans. How do you sell Tucson, Arizona? It can be a tough sell.
Well, as economic development, to get a business to come here and build a, you know, new business, get the customer to come here. We sold it like crazy.
Yeah.
When we were chasing retirees, because it was about the weather, it was about the quality of life and all that. And those demographics have all changed now, mm-hmm. post recession. And so now, what is there left to sell other than the wonderful, wonderful weather? And that's why I think the downtown renaissance is so important. If we can get downtown as something that there's a buzz about it, then when people come and they like, you can have a lot of fun downtown. It's a great place to live. There's all these wonderful amenities. I think that is something you can sell. If you get Rio Nuevo going again, now that the legislature has passed a law to take the chains off and they can start spending money and they can develop that west side, get those cultural amenities built out, get the Origins Park becoming actually mm-hmm. something to go visit rather than to drive by and wonder what that big dirt lot is.
it's a lovely lot.
Then you can start building from there.
Supermarket downtown Dan Gibson is huge.
It gives people something to rally around. It's saying that living downtown is a viable thing to do, because for a long time that's what you would say, right? Like, well, it's great, I love my apartment, but, you know, and that's sort of the last but in that space is to say, you know, now we can get our groceries or whatever. And I mean, it'll be a more or less a regular store where you can buy things that you can eat, you know? And so, I mean, I guess that's the thing. It's like, what it's trying to make us distinctive over Albuquerque or for, you know, El Paso, I guess, or cities that are in our ilk, is to say, yeah, well, you know, where would you go out in Albuquerque? I mean, I've been through there and mm-hmm. delightful green chili burgers and whatnot, but mm-hmm. there is no there. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I guess that's the sort of plan, is to like to focus on creating a there for Tucson, which has sort of been lacking. And once you have that, then people will say, well, I do like that place. That is kind of cool. But it's still, when everybody is amped up, everybody's a salesman, every city, every municipality, they've all got great things to talk about. And it's, you know, We have tacos. We have great tacos. You know, so it's
still waiting for that taco Thursday.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming. Once the chaos is has subsided, but it's just the you have to create a distinctive. You have to find a niche, and I don't know if, when you have so many people sort of bad mouthing Tucson left and right. People who seem to who are ostensibly in the business of selling Tucson, who then turn around and badmouth it. You're like, great, this is helpful. Thank you.
Which includes the chamber.
Yeah, it absolutely does. You know, right. So that's what I wonder is like when that's going to change. When people are just going to accept that maybe the streetcar won't be this gigantic boon, and maybe Rio Nuevo, you know, get over the numbers of Rio Nuevo in the past, and just decide, hey, listen, we're just going to like pretend that we like Tucson for a little bit and start selling it.
All right, coming up now on 12:49 on the Buckmaster Show. We are quickly running out of time on our Friday roundtable. And Mark Evans is with us. Mark, former editor of Inside Tucson Business, and Dan Gibson is with us, the current editor of Inside Tucson Business.
Not that I know of.
He's not taken over Inside Tucson.
I've got enough to do, hopefully.
Let's see if we can work in one call here on the Friday Roundtable. Go ahead, Terry.
I'm commenting on the fact that you complain about no jobs, the unemployment, and all that. So why is Chuck Huckleberry so obsessed with not letting Rosemont open the mine when you know that there'd be a lot of jobs? Not enough for everybody, but there'd be a lot of jobs.
Okay? Thank you. Thank you, Terry. Dan and Mark, I think a lot of it has to do with the county very concerned about air and water quality issues.
I guess the catch is that there are some things you can't go back from. And I mean, there are certainly probably ways to create jobs and opportunity and make money, but then at what cost? You're just trying to balance it out. You know, I mean, I think I've sort of hit personally the end of my Rosemont caring. Just go, just do it. Let's move on. I mean, that's like such a fire.
7 or 8 years.
Yeah, right? All right, just dig the hole, whatever. But, I mean, it is a thing that you should be in the business of doing is conservation of resources, whether you agree with the mine or not.
Yeah, you know, the county is likely, if the permit is issued, the county is likely to join a lawsuit or even start its own lawsuit suing over water and air. And I think there are going to be some political repercussions for that, because it's one thing to say you're against it, it's another thing to actively work against it and spend taxpayer money. So we'll see what happens. The forester's decision should be out in the next couple of weeks.
Okay, Mark Evans, Dan Gibson, thank you both very much. Have a great Cinco de Mayo weekend.
Yes, it's all I've been thinking about.
I know I have. My wedding anniversary is Monday, so believe me, I've been thinking about it. We'll be right back with Weekend Watch.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient, it can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's vscot.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, brought to you by the 19th annual Silver City Blues Festival, the Southwest's unparalleled free musical event, coming up on Memorial Day, just three and a half hours east of Tucson to historic Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Lots to do and great places to stay, like Bear Mountain Lodge. You can find out more on their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now Matt Russell, Inside Tucson business, food and beverage columnist, award-winning publicist, and a guy who is always ready to start partying. And now is your opportunity. Cinco de Mayo is here.
Indeed. Well, happy Cinco de Mayo, Bill. And I should say that I heard that you and your lovely bride, Anne, are going to be celebrating Cinco de Mayo in a little bit different way than we will be doing here.
Yes, we will. 42 years of marriage. Wonderful. Wonderful decision, as I said on Facebook today. The best decision ever made, saying I do.
Congratulations.
Thank
to you,
you both. What's going on this weekend?
Well, you know, it's going to be a fun night downtown this evening on the plaza of the Hotel Congress, Bill, as they kick off Cinco de Mayo weekend with their annual Agave Fest. Now, this is a celebration of all the spectacular spirits that hail from that agave plant, like tequila and mezcal and bacanora and sotol. And this event is going to be featuring 50 of them that are going to be on parade, along with eight of Tucson's top mixologists who are going to be battling it out for the coveted prize of Tucson's best tequila cocktail. So all of this, plus a taco bar, live Latin music, and yours truly serving as MC, makes this a great event this evening to kick off Cinco de Mayo.
Hey, don't forget the companion animals when we take them out to eat with us.
Exactly. You know, I've been hearing more and more about dog-friendly restaurants across town, which generally means, you know, Fido is going to get a bowl of water on the patio. But the folks at Delectables over on 4th Avenue have kind of kicked it up a notch, and they're going to be rolling out a separate menu for dogs only. Items like poached eggs and the buried treasure are getting rave reviews, and I'm told that every dish is low sodium with no onions or garlic, which is just right for the puppies' tummies. Prices range from only $3 to about $5 per plate, so great time to head on down to Delectables with your dog in time for Yappy Hour. I just say that. I'm sorry, Bill.
And everybody goes home with a very full tummy. It should be a great evening. Exactly. Cinco de Mayo, more festivities coming up.
Absolutely. You know, Cinco de Mayo doesn't have to be all about margaritas and Mexican beer. And on Sunday and Monday over at Trail Dust Town on Tancredi Road, the Cinco de Mayo Fiesta is all about family fun. So they're planning a pinata party, stunt shows, performances by youth mariachi bands, and of course there's great food and drink specials at area restaurants like Pinnacle Peak and Dakota Bar and Grill. I think it's a great way for the family, Bill, to celebrate Cinco de Mayo in this Old West atmosphere.
How about the Inside Tucson business column this week, Matt?
Yeah, you know, Bill, I sat down with two local chefs who are paying tribute to their moms from a culinary perspective as Mother's Day approaches next weekend. Beautiful and inspirational stories indeed. So you can read all about that in this week's Inside Tucson Business.
And the restaurant scene continues to just be booming in this community, doesn't it?
Yeah, if you're a foodie, you love a great food meal and a great drink, Tucson is the best place to be.
Hey, Matt, have a great weekend.
Happy anniversary, Bill.
Thank you. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by our friends at Culligan Better Water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. Thank you, Culligan. All of our in-studio guests enjoy one of your nice chilled bottles of Culligan. We appreciate the support here on the Buckmaster Show. And of course, we appreciate the support of all of the Buckmaster Show supporters. You can find the list. Great group of people who believe in our work, and you can find that at buckmastershow.com.